on action!
Welcome to the inaugural episode of Super Pod. I'm Noel Villeneuve.
I'm Ian Rayburn. Let's talk about some fucking movies.
I want to yak about some movies.
Sorry, let me take that back. I want to yak about some movies.
We like movies.
I love movies.
Ian is an actor.
Yep.
Up and coming.
Thank you.
Gonna be worth millions. I'm gonna ride on his coattails.
That's true.
It's gonna be great.
You've said that for years.
I am a movie fan. I am a DVD collector.
Yes, you are.
I enjoy kicking back, putting your feet up on the old couch.
Yep, he does.
Popping some corn.
Very traditional.
And watching a flick.
Yep. Multiple flicks.
Usually.
Yeah. I love movies, but sometimes I have a hard time watching more than two a day. That is not an issue.
Oh, nah. I could top six to seven. I can watch a lot. My collection is over 1,000 DVDs.
Wow.
And that's 1,000 UPC labels. That's not 1,000 titles.
Right.
That's over 1,000 UPC labels. So, I mean, you got box sets with 8 or 9, 10 DVDs in it.
Yeah.
So I would venture to say it's probably somewhere around 1,250, 1,300 tops.
Yeah, because you got a lot of TV series.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So, I mean, there's a lot there. I watch a lot. I certainly haven't seen everything
in
the whole entire world.
I gotta ask you, how many of your DVDs you have that you just have not watched?
Probably 150.
Well, that's not
150,
bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
And I mean, I have not watched the actual DVD.
Right.
But I've probably seen the movie.
You've seen the movie?
I would say there's probably 75 movies that I've purchased that I've never watched, never seen before I purchased it. I just bought it because it was there. I liked it.
Right.
And
interesting.
I wanted to snag it. So, I mean, could have just been a good price. Could have been the box cover. Could have been the synopsis on the back. Caught my attention. The people in it. The director. Anything. So
you love it all.
Yeah. You got to. I mean, there's. I like certain directors. I like certain actors. I like certain storylines. I'm a big Japanese horror fan. So you know, Takashi Miike. Anything with him.
Oh, yeah.
I have 35 of his films.
Yeah.
And there's 70 something, so
I'm not even,
I mean,
seen...
there's no way to catch up to that.
No.
Quentin Tarantino, another one of my
course.
Favorites. I think I have everything. Robert Rodriguez as well.
Yeah, he's awesome. Great director.
But that, like Spielberg.
Of course.
You know,
you love the classics. You were telling me about your first movie purchase.
First DVD. Movie ever purchased. First DVD purchased was Rain Man. Gotta love that.
Great flick.
And I bought it because I thought one day that I'd have to tell somebody the first DVD I ever bought. I didn't want it to be something crappy like Garfield. So I wanted to snag something good. And Rain Man was $15 at the time. So I thought it was a great purchase. Still love the movie. Tom Cruise. Terrific.
Great movie.
So today we're actually, we just watched a flick.
Yep.
And we're going to yak about it.
Yep.
We just watched Dawn of the Dead.
Yep.
2004 remake.
The remake.
Yes. Now Ian is... he is here because he knows every person who worked on the movie, every person who he knows who catered it. He knows
know
the taxi service that picked up every single actor at what times and dropped them off. He knows everything there is to know about the movie.
Well, they filmed it in Thornhill, Ontario, which is very close to us. They cast it in the city. I remember asking. And this was 2004, so they were shooting this in 2003. I remember asking a background agent, I only want to do background on that or a Saw movie. So, and I knew they were filming that in Ontario, and I was like, if you can get me as a zombie on this, oh, I'd be forever. Oh, yeah, of course, we'll try. No, nothing panned out. But I know all of it because it was very close by. I know a few of the people. I did an acting workshop by one of the people in it.
Yeah.
So... just because they filmed it close, that's why I know.
Yeah, I may have over exaggerated there, but he knows the people that are in it and the people that directed it and that kind of stuff. I don't really pay attention to all of that. I mean, I know my key directors and my key actors
right.
that I like. Other than that, I just want to
But you just enjoy a good flick.
Yeah, I just want to enjoy a good story, get lost. I mean, the whole point of movies is so that you can just forget about your own life and get lost in something that isn't yours.
Yeah.
And just relax and envision a different world, if you
will. I also want to say, before we even get into talking about Dawn of the Dead, you do love a lot of the classic flicks.
Like, I do.
You love so many great movies. And maybe it's just me, and I'm glad that I'm here talking to you about it, because, oh man, you will put on at any given time so many classics that I love. That, you know, I mean,
name
Speed,
a couple.
Jaws, yeah. Shawshank Redemption,
Con Air.
Con, yeah, like any of the Die Hard movies.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have to be the one to say that, but I will say, you know, a Face Off. I mean, I don't love them all, but I am a sucker for classics, for Transformers. I'm not, I like bits of it, but, you know, classic. Any of the Batman, Christopher Nolan movies. Holy Christ. There's
and the thing is, I could have watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I would put it on again. The
Scott
next
Pilgrim
day.
And Shaun of the Dead, pretty much anything by a great.
Like, I have no problems just watching Jurassic the same Park, movie two Congo. Days in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much you pick up on the second time, third time, fourth time that you've watched it. That,
yeah.
You know, you can't not. If you're going to own a movie, you're going to watch it more than once.
That's very true.
And, you know, I had a lot more that I got rid of. I probably had another 120 titles that I got rid of because I knew that there was no reason to rewatch it.
What was the worst that you had? You were like, why the fuck do I own this?
It would have been Bring It On. But I mean,
not the most deplorable title.
No, but again, I'm a collector. So as a collector, you will take
that's true, yeah.
certain advantages when you can. And when someone's offering 100 DVDs for $200, you take all.
Right.
You keep the 50 that you like.
Right.
And then eventually get rid of the other 50, right? So I'll do that because I'm a collector.
Right.
And it sucks because a lot of stuff's going on demand and going digital. And
Netflix and
but
all that.
But I'm a guy. I need the box.
Right.
I need.
What about Blu-ray?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
It took me a long time to switch from VHS.
VHS. Yeah.
I used to record. I'd stay up late and record movies off of the TV, and I would pause them at the commercials, so I didn't have commercials.
Yeah.
And I would write labels, and I would write.
You had.
I would write the synopsis on the back, and who Holy was in shit. It, and I would go in great detail because
hundreds of VHS tapes, man.
And then eventually made the switch to DVD, and that took a long time. When I made the switch to DVD, it was after they announced that they would no longer make any new movies on DVD on VHS. So then it was like, well, I have to now because I want new movies.
They're forcing
you
to,
they're
really,
forcing
me.
So that hasn't come out for Blu-ray yet. I do own some of the like DVD Blu-ray combo packs.
Okay.
So, you know, I've got a couple that I can launch into my collection when Blu-ray is exclusive now to all new films. But it'll take a while for me to actually change. I'm not going to
like
change the whole library over.
No way. And DVD's pretty good quality. I like having.
See, and I'm not a quality guy. I watch my movies on a 27-inch boob tube.
Even a flat screen.
Yeah, I don't have a flat screen. I don't have a surround sound. I watch it on 27-inch boob tube or a 13-inch bargain shop TV with a VCR in it, and that's good enough for me. So I mean, I quality doesn't really matter to me. I just need to be able to see it at some point and hear it, and that's all.
A lot of
time
too, I found movies that they release on Blu-ray and that. I mean, sure, they clean them up and they digital restore some of them if they have the budget or they have the power behind the movies. But really, I mean, it's like you don't need to watch The Shawshank Redemption in stunning Blu-ray to get it, you know?
And a movie like that should be gritty. It's older.
Yeah.
And it's even filmed in a different period of time.
Of course.
So, like, you shouldn't have crystal clear.
As long as you can hear it.
Yeah.
And see what's going on. It's like the story and the performances, like you were talking about earlier. It's not, you know, a movie like The Avengers or Transformers, those movies are made with this technology, so they should be seen like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen movies on 120-inch home 3D screen projector, you know, and it was awesome. But you know, do I need $75,000 worth of electronics equipment?
What, that how much?
Yeah, that's how much it cost. Someone I know has a home theater it's $75,000to make their home theater.
We're talking about movies, man. That's awesome. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
And it was. I watched Avengers there for the first time in 3D, and I was only supposed to be there half hour.
No.
And the movie's like 2.5.
Oh, buddy.
And I stayed for the whole movie.
Even the last 20 minutes.
And
this is crazy.
I had no cell reception because it's kind of out in the country.
Right.
So I had no cell reception. So as soon as I left and I venture off on the main road, my phone is just blowing up with everyone. My wife, my mom, everyone's calling me. Where are you? You're supposed to be here for dinner? You're supposed to pick us up?
Right.
Just blowing me up. And I was like, guy, 120-inch 3D. You can't not stay and watch the whole Avengers flick.
That's
like,
true.
It was really good. And I mean, it's a great way to experience it. But is it required to watch a movie? No, not at all. I prefer sound over video. I remember the first time I ever saw something that was outside of a theater in surround sound was at your dad's house. We watched Terminator 2, and I remember hearing every bullet.
DTS
hitting the floor, and I was just like, "That was cool."
It's pretty wild,
and,
eh?
You know, I don't have a surround sound. I've never bought one. It was awesome, and I enjoyed it. But it was it's never enough for me.
You have to have the space to, you know,
and
to
it
have
just
it, and...
it doesn't totally change the movie viewing experience. I mean, it enhances it a little bit, but it doesn't change it for me. Yeah. So it's never been one of those things that I gotta have.
You need to have, yeah.
My thing has been I gotta have the DVDs. Right. I gotta get this new one and that new one and this collector's edition and that one.
Right.
And that was more important than a new TV or a surround sound or
I loved it,
switching
though.
To Blu-ray.
And I feel like you're like me a little bit where it's like you like your DVD collection to reflect your personality a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
I mean, I have some movies that I have 27 Dresses. But it's a good flick.
That's not a bad flick.
I enjoy it.
Katherine Heigl, right?
Yeah.
And I think she's absolute shit.
I enjoy it very much.
Ugly Truth with Gerard Butler.
Oh man.
I a few movies have I legit shut off. I'll give anything a chance.
Yeah.
15, 20 minutes in, I shut it right off.
I mean, there's very few movies I
right
shut off.
Shit. Like, what was the last one you just shut off?
The last movie that I ever shut off was Zombie Nation.
to the zombies.
Horrible. Like, the worst movie I've ever seen. The plot was all over the place. It was shot with, it felt like someone shot it with the Nickelodeon Viewmaster or the Fisher-Price Viewmaster. Yeah, it's like it's just all over the place. It's up and down and sideways.
Right.
And I felt like I was going to throw up.
Right.
Watching
what was the quality of the video? Did it look digital? Did it look like it was film? Like the cinematography? I mean, I know, but...
Being so low budget and such a crappy movie, I would have to say it was digital. But, it felt like an iPhone. Like unstabilized iPhone. It made me nauseous. And
effects were terrible.
Acting
was terrible.
Oh, my God. It was the worst.
But
it was the worst.
Where'd you see it?
DVD store.
And they had it in
they
a DVD
had it,
store.
And it was zombies.
Somebody made it and sold it.
One of the things I collect is zombie movies. So
yeah.
I had to have it. You know, I think it was $19 when I bought it. It hurt hard. It hurt hard. And I want to get rid of it, but I can't because it was $19. I'll get $2 for it, and I know I can't get rid of it. I got to keep it.
Oh, you'll get 50 cents for it, man.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And
wow.
That kind of goes full circle there because the first movie that I ever saw that was a zombie movie was the Dawn of the Dead 2004 remake.
Wow. Yeah.
I got a call from my buddy, Justin. He wanted me to come to his house to drop off some weed for him.
Oh,
and
shit.
I said, all right, it's late, but fuck. All right. He's got a date tomorrow and he needs some weed during the day and I got to work. So it's 11 o'clock and yeah, okay. I'll get you some. I'll drop it off. I'm on my way. And I come in and I'm dropping it off, but it's probably now 11:30, closer to 12. I have to be up at 4:30 in the morning to go to work, and this movie is on. I catch it from the corner of my eye, and I was
"What part is it at?"
The very beginning in the mall.
Okay.
Like so, they're in the mall,
so
right?
You missed the bit of the beginning
in the mall, and I was like, "What's going on?" And then the one zombie came out of nowhere and attacked Luda and
right.
bit her arm, but you didn't know. And then Ving Rhames took the slice in the arm.
Great scene. Loved
and,
it.
And Sarah Pauli like, shot the shotgun, but you know, obviously she's never held a shotgun before. Shot him in the shoulder.
Right.
And I was just like, wow, that's so cool.
He's twitching.
And yeah, he's twitching. Yeah. And I was like, what is this? And he's like, oh, you want to watch it? And I was like, well, I kind of got to be up in like 5 hours.
Right.
You know, I got 30 minutes to go home. So what is it? How long is it? And he's like, it's like 2 hours. And I was like, I don't know, man. He's like, let me start from the beginning. Let me show you the first five.
Oh yeah.
The first five.
And that's.
And I said, okay. So we started it over and I stayed for the whole thing.
You could.
And I was like this. And then I went out.
Opening
after work. After work, I went out and I bought it.
Right.
I was like, I gotta have this, man. It was so good.
Yeah.
And then that started my love affair with zombie film.
I know a few
film.
People that that was their first zombie film. I also, and you know what? I have no feelings toward this. I think if you see a movie and you love it, you love it. Doesn't matter. But I know a few people that are also zombie fans, and in their opinion, not mine, they feel like it's a disgrace, and you're like hipster zombie fans, oh, you know what I mean? Because you didn't like the original, you didn't see the original. But I'm like, you guys didn't see the originals either when they came out, you know? So you know what I mean? It's not like you don't appreciate any of the, you know, George Romero stuff, and then you get into like any of the Italian zombie stuff
and
you know, a lot of the classic beginnings.
I knew nothing about it, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I knew nothing about zombie culture at all.
Right.
And I saw this flick, and then
I did it for you.
And I started my pursuit to find anything zombie.
Yeah.
And I would venture to say that I got 65, maybe 70 zombie films in my collection. And
it's crazy, man. I've loved zombie stuff since I was probably like 11 or 12 years old when my dad taped Night of the Living Dead. It was on TVO, which is the when we were trick-or-treating. And I came home and he's like, you got to watch this movie. And I was like, what is it? I was sorting the candy. He's like, you'd like it. You got to watch it. And I remember putting it on and I was like, black and white. And I did. And, you know, with Barbara and the,
old
and
school.
At the beginning. And it wasn't until in the house where Ben, the black guy, was like boarding up the windows and that. And I was like, what is this movie about? And my dad was like, those are dead people that come back to life. And I was like, what? I had no idea what the movie was about. I saw like the zombies, but I was like, what is wrong with these people? Because the effects weren't really there.
No.
And I didn't know anything about zombies.
Like my family growing up, my mom was, we watched action movies.
Which is awesome.
So like we never really watched, like I remember
the one
horror flick we watched was Dr. Giggles.
Oh, jeez.
And it fucking traumatized me. I was so scared. I was probably like 12.
I remember
talking
to you about Dr. Giggles.
And I hated it.
Drake of Darkman fame.
For almost the whole movie, I was laying on the floor watching it. And then I had to peace out like the last 20 minutes. I was like, I can't take it anymore. I don't care if anyone calls me a girl. This guy is creepy. I got to go. So we never really watched horror movies. We always watched, you know, action cop movies. Buddy flicks. So,
yeah.
I mean, any action flick out there from,
you know it, brother.
You know,
yeah,
95
yep.
to 2005, we rented, we watched.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Know, so like that was our growing up. But I would have been, 19, maybe 20.
Yeah.
Finding Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead remake.
Perfect time.
Yeah. At your, exactly.
Zombies were just starting to come.
They just started to come
hitting
in.
Hard.
Yeah.
And
that's what bugs me now. Like, you know, people say, oh, because you like certain movies and this movie particularly because we're talking about it. But it's like, I was saying, I liked it shit for so much. Doesn't matter. I still loved when I saw the remake.
Yeah.
And I think if you find something that you like, you know more about zombies than me, and I've liked it for like a little bit than over half my life.
Oh, yeah.
And I will happily admit, you're telling me about books tonight I should read, and other zombie movies that.
Yeah, I remember the one night we were
like
hanging
shit
out.
Like Zombie Nation.
We were hanging out, and I was asking if you've seen this flick and seen that flick.
No.
Showing you the DVDs, and you're like, never even heard of it, never even heard of it. And I'm like, this one's good, this one's not bad,
yeah,
really good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, there's. I
loves it.
I was on a quest for zombie stuff.
I love zombie stuff.
But this movie just, you know, opened my eyes to the wonderful world that is zombies. I mean, there's so much going on in the whole movie that
literally I'd say 4 minutes where there's no at least impending doom. Like even in the movie when there's nothing happening. You still know at any given time
that
something.
It could be over. Yeah, there's that 4 minutes.
Four minutes, and then Steve, it just starts.
Steve's banging the tart, and Ving Rhames is working out, and
But still, shit's just, or stuff like that's happening.
They're just like they're living, but death
fast
is
editing
outside.
And yeah.
You know, and
it's that first couple minutes,
and it's that whole thing of what would I do. What would I do? You know, you see what they did. That they
we judged. I was judging the fuck out of them. When we were
But they Anna Sarah Pauly.
Right.
She leaves. Her boyfriend kind of gets fucked up there by the little kid.
I love that opening. That's what did you think when you saw the opening?
I was blown away.
Yeah.
And like kid zombie, I'm like,
oh yeah,
this is unreal. I'm like, has this been done before? Like, this is crazy.
And then that bump, and awesome bump she takes
awesome
into,
bump
the
into the tub.
Tub.
I was going nuts. Yeah. Going nuts.
Great
scene. And then she takes a little roll out of the window, but then she takes off. And
wait a minute. I'm on my favorite
part. Oh, yeah. You love that part.
I love it. What her neighbor?
Back away, Anna.
Back away, Anna.
Back away, Anna.
What's going on?
And the fucking ambulance comes out of nowhere. This guy is so out of it and focused on Anna and can't see an ambulance roaring down the street.
Yeah,
and
would
just
that would
crushes
it, would
them.
That would it be would or sorry would that be what it would take for you to get like that, like the zombie apocalypse where you're just like you either never expected it or it's just so surreal, everyone's fucking dying, and there's you just like any person you see you just automatically assume you're like what you've seen earlier,
and you, the whole thing is no one really knows, and this is like they class it kind of as like the first like 5 hours at that point is sort of, that just kind of that neighborhood is just been taken over. That neighborhood hit hard. I don't know what that kid did to get to
become
a zombie.
Who bit that kid?
Well, maybe that kid is the one who started it.
But who bit the kid's lips off?
But maybe she's outside just playing with bugs. She's playing with her Easy Bake Oven, and she's got some bad some old brownie mix.
Imagine that.
And she's like, you know what? I'll just double cook it, and it'll be fine. And then she scarfs that down, and then
melted her lips off.
Or
wow.
And she fucking, can you imagine she became a zombie. Easy Bake Ovens are bad. Don't give your kids Easy Bake Ovens. Okay.
So what if you saw the Dawn of the Dead remake, which in both of our opinions is a good flick, but before everything you see, that is what you saw. Or after she comes home from the hospital and they're fucking in the shower.
Yeah.
Instead of it just cutting to them waking up at 6:30 in the morning, like shows the clock, and then it cuts to outside, and the fucking what's her name, the little girl's out there in her dress, and she's just she's at home double cooking.
Yeah,
she kills both her parents, fucking. Then she comes over. Yeah, that'd actually be pretty wild.
And like
that'd be pretty cool.
They continue to leave everything up to your imagination on how it happened, why it happened,
right?
And I like that, but I don't like that because I want to know. Because my imagination goes crazy, and it's Easy Bake Ovens and old brownie mix that caused the zombie apocalypse. So I mean, is that what happened? I doubt it, but in my mind, that's what happened. So I'd like a zombie film to define that for me, on how it happened and why it happened. But I
don't feel like any zombie movie wants to do that, because if they do that, then it's like, oh, we are the movie that said what happened.
Thing, you're putting yourself right on the limb, because
right on a limb,
it's can that happen, will that happen, and does that make sense? And
if your movie blows, the haters will not watch.
You're ridiculed just for that one choice rather than the whole movie, right? That 2-3-4 minute choice of, the guy was he was giving blood.
Sure, whatever it was.
And then the other guy cross-contaminated this guy's blood and that guy's blood and injected into that guy, and then that guy got sick and threw up on that guy.
And just mutated around.
And some extra stuff spilled over from the blood truck, and then bam. Sure. They're zombies.
There it is.
And
or
it's like, that
radiation
make sense.
From the moon. Yeah. Or aliens. Or a government virus.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
The army. The chemical warfare. Whatever.
Gets out. Buddy's getting sweet with their assistant. Knocks it over.
Like, I always, in my head, I always vision it as something stupid. And, when it could be just something really simple. Like,
although some movies,
warfare.
Did you see Return of the Living Dead?
1985,
Return of the Living Dead is like more of a comedy horror than a straight
yes,
zombie.
Yes,
and
yes.
They talked in it, the zombies
yes,
talked.
Yes.
And that one they did, it was like old army canisters from the war, and they like opened it up and the steam came out, and that's what.
Yeah, and that the other one that they talked in.
So they
kind of
gave it.
Was it Corpses Lie?
Oh, Let Sleeping Corpses
Let
Lie.
Yeah, they talked in that one too. Yeah. They didn't they do a musical number in that one? Which one? Dead and Breakfast?
That's one of those Dead and Breakfast.
Dead and Breakfast? Yeah, that was
Let
Sleeping
Corpses Lie. That's one of those flicks that I bought because I was like, oh, I love zombie movies. I'm going to buy it. I'd never seen it. I didn't know anything about it. And the opening scene is that fucking naked girl on the motorcycle.
You loved it, didn't you?
I was like, it was Full Frontal, too. I was like, what?
Yeah, you did.
What is this movie right
here? How many times did you rewind it to that part? Having not watched anything else, how many times did you rewind it to the full?
Probably two or three.
Wow!
But I've done it a lot more on other movies. The Shining. The first time I saw The Shining, even though that's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
People are always like, "Oh, you love horror movies and that." What, you know, a lot of movies. But when I was at an age where Showcase in Canada was around, where they show unedited movies, and I was watching The Shining, unedited, on Showcase.
On a Friday night or Saturday night
or something. The lights were off. I slept in the basement.
You slept in the basement just to catch that.
And I was watching this movie. And if you know the scene I'm talking about in question, in The Shining, where Jack Nicholson goes in the room 237 bathroom.
Yeah.
And it's like the beautiful Kubrick shot. I don't even have to explain it. You've seen the movie, obviously, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the fucking woman pulls the curtain back, and she stands up, and there's full frontal, and then it cuts to Jack Nicholson, and he's like, what the fuck? And then it cuts back, and she's just standing there, bush, breasts, everything, and he embraces her, and then he looks in the mirror, and it's the old woman. And that, I mean, honestly, when I got that movie, and then I had no idea, so I'm seeing the full frontal, and then instantly it goes to that terrifying woman, and I was fucking freaking out. But when I got that movie on DVD, oh, man.
Yeah, 15, 16, 432 times. You took 3 days off work.
Sometimes I just leave it on pause. My TV's like screensaver, you know. So every time I would go do an errand and come back, I'd just be like, "There it is.
Here it is.
There's that shining bush." You know.
That's funny. The so you never really know about, you know, why it happens or how it happens,
and
but it happens.
Another one,
you know,
of those
easy
examples.
Easy bake oven.
Right.
Little kid gets fucked up, fucks up the neighborhood, kills the guy.
Yeah.
Guy tries to get his wife. She escapes. She's running away. That guy trying to climb into her car.
Yeah.
Like, when she's just like, she's off in La La Land.
Why do you think they put that in?
And
the panic is happening everywhere.
I think so. Yeah. And I don't know if the guy wanted to help her, if he just wanted to hijack the car.
He wanted to hijack the car.
Yeah. And then she pieces out, but of course she's a woman, so she's a horrible driver. And then she crashes.
She can't fucking multitask either we're at it.
How long do you think she was out for?
That's a great question. See, this is
like,
another thing.
It has
about
to be a couple of minutes.
This is another thing about the Dawn of the Dead remake that you don't know. Like, how long are they in the hospital or in the mall, you know, to when the montage happens when he's fucking the girl?
Yeah.
A couple hours, a couple days?
I got to call it 5 days because they go to sleep the first time, the first night, and they're all locked in Metropolis.
Right.
And they come out and then they do their thing and then Sarah's wearing different clothes again.
Right.
Second time. So I gotta put
it's
that
hard, 'cause they have
at that, around 3 days.
What's
but then
the scene, and then it cuts to Vingra, the Richard Cheese Get Up with the Cygnus cover, and that whole bit where he's playing chess with
Andy,
and that's the start of it. So how long from what before to that? Is that like showing like a couple days, a couple weeks?
I would only put it around 4, maybe 5 days because if in the next scene, when they're sitting around and they're yakking, maybe
they're all pretty comfortable with each other though.
And they are, but Steve hasn't shaved and he's got like, he's got some not serious stubble, but he's got like,
I don't know, that's getting real specific.
I noticed that earlier.
Toronto actor Kevin Zegers, who played I can't remember his name in the movie, but he was the trainee of the mall security guys who falls in love with the young girl, the fucking stupid idiot.
Lindy
Booth, great actor.
Is he Terry?
Or
is the other guy Terry?
The youngest guy that survives.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's like a young pup in that movie. He's clean shaven all through the movie. Movie. Nobody's growing facial hair, you know.
Except for Steve, for some reason.
I mean, Ty Burrell's like, no, I want my fucking stubble in this.
He's like, I'm not shaving
fucking
for this
sexy
bullshit. You know who I am? Do you know who I am right now?
Do you know who I will be?
Okay, I'm going to be huge. I'm going to be on Modern Family.
Yeah.
You have no idea what that is, but I'm not going to fucking shave. I'm going to roll up in here. I'm going to have a 3-day-old beard. Okay? And you're gonna like it. You're going to deal with it. I don't give a fuck about continuity.
Talking to Zack Snyder specifically.
And this is what's going to happen. Yeah. So deal with it or I'm walking. And they're just like, okay, man.
We'll just work with you on that.
Maybe we can take it out in post. I don't really know, but okay. Right. You're the boss.
But then I say, Andy, the gun guy, how long was he there, though? But then how long was he there before
they
found
him? He's been there a
while. Because that scene where he shows that he's really hungry, like if he was hungry already, how long did that take before
I want to say that it's got to be a month.
Yeah, that they were there?
Yeah, because, I mean, all the stuff they did.
They did a lot of stuff, and they got real comfortable with
each other.
And then
when they were finally ready, like, okay, 5 more days, we're going to be going.
They're getting stir crazy.
And then it was like 5 more days is when we're going to be ready to roll. You know, so it could have been that they weren't there that long.
Right.
Because they're like 5 more days, we'll get ready to roll.
Right. Or is it like 5 more days?
Yeah.
Finally
we're ready. So, you know, it could be taken both ways. I mean, I would put it anywhere between a week.
Right.
To a month.
I'd say a month.
Like,
I'd say
a month
longer.
Because
I'd say, how long would it take you to get stir crazy? Where you're like, you know what? Like, Ving Rhames being like, I don't want to wait around here to die. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you get to that point where you're just like, you get there and you're like, this is so awesome. We're in a mall. And there's so many supplies. And then how long does it take for that to wear off for you? Like, with what's going on outside and every time we go on the roof of how many of those fucking things I see out there, I want to get right out of here now.
And what bothers me every time people think about that, that I'm getting stir crazy, I got to get out of here.
Right.
How long have you been alive?
That's true.
In the mall? You want to leave.
Carefree.
But you've been alive with very few incidents.
Semi-carefree, yeah.
Yeah, very few. And the incidents that do happen were kind of your fault.
Mm-hmm.
For not paying attention, not being prepared. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to go in an underground parking, you're not prepared. You're acting like idiots, so of course you're going to lose a member. I mean, the member that you lose is not important, so no one really cares. No one really liked that guy anyway. He was never going to have sex with the fat girl at Dairy Queen, so
nobody really cares.
You know,
get him out.
But like that's the whole thing is you're safe. Why would you want to leave? I would only want to leave until you're not safe anymore.
Yeah, I would be scared that as comfortable as I felt, I'm just like, oh, fuck, how long is this going to last? There's like got to be at least 5,000. That crowd looked huge. Did they just keep coming then? Or are they eventually just going to smash the doors down?
And it's like, why do they keep coming, right? So,
yeah.
And I mean,
that was a lot. Those shots were a ton.
There was a lot of people, and the zombies, I think, they deteriorate over time.
Right.
So fresh.
Okay.
They're fast.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they should be in all movies, but this is just me.
If they're freshly
they're
killed.
They're fresh. They're fast. They're mobile.
Yeah.
They're active. They can do some stuff.
Joints are still pretty.
Yeah. But then after some time, their body starts to break down.
Yeah.
And they're still driven by the hunger.
Right.
But their body is breaking down. The joints aren't working really well. You know, things are falling apart. Decay is set in. You know, so they can't move that fast. So their shit's just going to snap off.
Right.
And just be fucking a couple of stumps running around trying to get some chow. But in the early stages, like they are, you got some fast zombies to deal with. What are your thoughts on the speed of the zombies in this movie? Because there are some that are at full fucking sprint.
Yeah.
Full sprint.
Okay.
There was one that there's a legless zombie.
Yeah.
Who fucking
climbing around like crazy.
What do you
jimmying on the
yeah, he's shimmying over the fucking pipes.
Shimmying, yeah,
in the underground parking.
Well, my thoughts are, and they're split in between the my opinion on like the reality of it and then on a filmmaking aspect of it. So on a filmmaking aspect of it, for Zack Snyder, the type of director he is, he's very fast and it's very visual and there's a lot of like CG integrated in that. So I'm like, for him, some of the fast zombies worked as a director, build real tension, the speed, that's like his style. So I'm like, yeah, it worked for him. On the other hand, but I kind of agree with you, with fresh zombies, I feel like I don't know. It's like you see how like old fucking decrepit zombies and all the stuff that we know are still. You see their viciousness when they see a human and they just rip people apart and shit. And these are zombies that look like absolute shit.
Yes, yes.
So if they're that vicious like that, and we've seen them pretty much through all the course of zombie movies that are in the era that compose of that zombie era, if they were freshly dead and they weren't crippled, like if they just got bit on the arm and they just died regularly, if it was a regular dude, got bit in the neck and bled out, I think that's like the, probably the best way.
Yes, yes.
Because you just bleed out super quick and you're dead and then you come back. If it's not blood that needs to power your body to make a zombie work, then yeah, I would say, I mean, if they can, if they know how to walk as old, decrepit, falling apart zombies, then why wouldn't they know how to walk, but they could do it faster?
Cause exactly.
That, so yeah, I kind of agree with that.
That's,
too,
that's my
right?
thought too.
It's, you know, George Romero didn't do it, and that's fine, and it worked. But just because he didn't do it, if you think of the reality, in my opinion, doesn't mean that maybe they can't have it. Like,
yeah,
right.
The whole thing is,
you kind of get what I'm saying.
There's,
right?
Yeah, there's got to be different levels of them, or else, or the pace of the movie can never change.
Yes,
and I mean, you have to be complete. If it's only the old. You know, Night of the Living Dead,
yep.
Zombies that shuffle, then, you know, the it's slow. The pace
the danger
can never change.
Is not there,
yeah,
you
it's
know?
Just like, and if the zombies sneak up on you,
right.
then you're an idiot, yeah. and you deserve yeah, you to look- have your face eaten off. Because you didn't see that guy shuffling. It took him 45 minutes to cross the parking lot, and you're standing there looking off into space.
Smoked a whole pack of cigarettes.
It's your fault that you got your face eaten off. It's not my problem. You go fuck yourself. It's your problem. Yeah. Like, I think my biggest problem with this movie is
okay. Yeah.
And I don't like to, you know, the whole reason. Actually, I meant to start this earlier, but the whole reason I wanted to start this podcast with Ian is because I was trying to find a good movie podcast to listen to.
Right.
And I think I tried about 13 different ones, and all they ever did was focus on the negative of a movie.
Okay.
And, oh, well, the director should have done this.
Really?
The editor should have done that. And I don't understand why they cast this person. And the sound was just horrible. And like, no, just let all that shit go. Just get lost in the movie and enjoy it.
In a podcast.
Yeah. Like, I just want to hear the you know, the shit that you liked and what you enjoyed and why you enjoyed it and the reason that you want to watch more movies like that or more movies from that person. You know, I'm a movie fan. I'm not a movie critic. I want to watch
wow.
movies and yep. enjoy them. I don't want to critique them and tell them what they did wrong and what they should have done because
right.
I'm not a movie maker.
That's a great quote.
I'm a fan. So, but the only thing that I hate about this movie, and it's got nothing to do with the actual movie itself, it's the characters that show empathy towards the
yeah.
other characters who fucked up. When that dumb tart, that little girl,
yeah.
fucking, her dad died, and she after she Chip, and she runs after Chip.
Yeah, the dog. Honey,
and she fucking drives the
dude?
Truck across to Andy's gun world, and she runs after him. And I'm just like, okay, she's gone. Let her go, man. Andy's all fucking zombied up, and he's in it. She's in a closet, and that's her problem. But then everyone's like, we gotta save her. I'm like, no, you don't gotta save her. Fuck her. She's gone.
I look at
her.
Like,
I guess if her dad was still alive, he'd
yes.
be like, I'm saving her. You guys can do what you want, but I'm going to save her. And you know what, Dad? That's your problem.
Yeah.
She's your problem. You should have been watching her.
It's weird.
So you go save her. I'm going to sit over here and have a Coors Light and play some chess, and I'll watch you die.
Yeah.
Like,
it's weird. The characters in this movie have weird senses of empathy because how long did it take for Anna to forget about her boyfriend
and
husband?
45 minutes? And
she's kissing
and she's shacking
dude,
up
know?
With Michael?
How long did it take the little tart to forget about her dad? You know, and yet this girl does something stupid, fucking goes over there, and they're all like, we have to do something. We have to get her. Like, what is it with this tart?
And
is
what
she,
is
like,
she
pregnant
bring?
With the unborn? Like,
what does she bring to the group?
Her blood is like, I guess if her blood cured the virus, then fuck yeah, we
like,
got her.
Without
what
her?
Did she she's spray painted.
They wouldn't have any teeth on the bulldozer on the front of the van.
I hope people like, who listen to this
and,
know
and
this movie at
how,
least a little.
The other problem I have is, how did Ving Rhames crash the bus or the thing? The other guy made it through no problem.
That's true.
But Ving Rhames crashed it.
You're in a bus, bro.
Yeah.
You're in a fortified bus. Now, I get
and
that one of your passengers
was,
got chainsawed.
Yeah. Okay.
But you turn and look and go, oh, shit, and you crash into something.
And you jerk the wheel? Yeah. Like, come on. And then, of course, they get out of that bus, and Steve goes down hard,
yep.
Which was great because he didn't shoot. He just stood there and screamed, which,
yeah.
I mean, again, you're scared. So I get that.
But you've also been shooting zombies. You live in a world where this is your reality.
But
now.
But he never really shot any zombies. He was
in
all
in the bus. He was shooting them outside.
Oh, was he? Okay.
And then he was the first one to get the chainsaw.
Oh yeah, so that's right. That's right. He knew what he was
doing.
What's
he screaming for, bro?
If
you want to scream with your gun up. Just start
scream while you're shooting.
Move out of the way. I don't know.
But Ving Rhames has crashed the bus
van.
I
didn't like that.
And then he climbs behind the wheel of the other one. And I'm like, is this the right guy that you want behind the wheel? He just flipped the other one.
This is high pressure times.
Like,
right now.
I wouldn't let him.
You know what? I'd be happy anybody getting behind the wheel at this point. Just get the fuck out of here. Ryan, if you want to do it, this is your second chance. And he still fucked it up because he drove into the dog.
He almost drowned everybody.
That's a bit that I didn't like either.
Like,
and I don't
want to
fall into your definition of movie podcast, but he comes smashing through the gate of the marina. Hold on! Play smash through, no problem. You can stop. No, he doesn't stop. He keeps going incredibly fast. I mean, I thought, keep your speed up to get through the gate.
Yeah.
Once you're through the gate, slow the fuck down and get on the boat. No, he keeps going, smashes through another boat on a raft.
Yeah.
And then comes to a halt by crashing into the dock.
And just the fucking planks are just exploding everywhere.
Like, you could have drowned everybody.
These are not. These don't ruin the movie at all.
These storyline stuff.
Yeah, this is just. What do they call them?
We're talking about this movie as if it were reality.
Yeah,
so we forget that this is a movie.
Quippets or I don't know what the hell they call it, but just whatever. Like they're just a couple of little things that we notice that they don't ruin the movie at all.
Not at all.
Just they're just little tiny things that we found funny while watching it, and we thought we had to point out. I just don't know why he would crash into the docks. I don't know if he was thinking that maybe, okay, if I gun it, I can drive this bitch right out on the dock,
right,
and then we can climb right out onto the boat.
But what a terrible idea, because in the reality of that, a bus that size with that thing on the front
and those,
going that speed would have smashed through the dock right into the water. It would have drowned all of them.
See, that would have been a good ending.
Oh, that would have been great. Just
I'll make it to the boat, and it's just like there's like the rainbow over the boat.
Of course.
And it's just like the birds are chirping over there because it's all perfect. And then Ving Rhames just fucking guns it and drowns everybody.
Right, and they smashes through their boat.
And they land, of course, they land door side down so nobody
can get
out.
Of course,
nobody can
get out. And they can't because it's so fortified.
Yeah.
And because there's all holes in the side of the bus where they can shoot out and chains out, that's just filling with water.
It's just filling with water. They can't open the door.
One shot of them inside, all four of them huddling together, finger on them, oh, fucked up.
How did you feel about the ending with, like, Steve's found video camera footage? Did it add to your experience? Did it give?
No.
Did you walk away with more? Okay, they did die.
No, I stayed watching the credits because it was on the credits, and then I stayed to the end of the credits because I thought, oh, maybe there'd be something. For me personally, no, it didn't really add anything because I was just like, oh, that. I guess because I have seen a lot of zombie movies and that, I was like, oh, that's how they ended. Okay, wasn't anything to me where I was like, oh, that was super original, or I thought maybe they're gonna set up for a sequel. Which, as I read on IMDb or Wikipedia, whether it's real or not, apparently there was supposed to be a sequel to this movie, which
Zack
Snyder
was
not directing, but I think he was writing and helping to produce, definitely having a part in being made. And it was supposed to be a sequel, and it was supposed to take place in Las Vegas.
I don't know, wicked.
Which would have been fucking wicked. We were talking about it a little off the cast earlier, and I think, because we've been in Vegas.
I'd enjoy
and
the
I love
shit out of
I
that.
Love when I was telling it and you were like, oh yeah, you know it all take place in old Vegas. And I
had to be
love
old Vegas.
That because I know that you love old Vegas.
Four Queens, Binions,
oh,
fucking
just
Fremont.
Love
just,
it.
Just
the whole
flowing.
Strip.
Yeah.
If you know the old Vegas strip. And there's a zip
line.
What lining.
Was the song they played at 9 o'clock?
Don McLean, American Pie. Can
yes.
you imagine?
You imagine American Pie going off and they're just fucking
like,
blasting
we're all
zombies?
Suiting up. Like, we've been there for a while and we all suit up in these crazy suits with chainsaws and shot. Like, you have double shotguns and a chainsaw on your back and we all have weapons. We're all in these, like, big suits that we built out of armor or hockey equipment or whatever. And we're like, all right, guys, this is it. Let's fucking go. We got to get out of this hotel to the other one, the Fremont, to get that buffet. And just as we do that, 9 o'clock hits, and the lights go off, that screen comes on, and Don McLean comes. And for the whole, like, 10 minutes of that song is just a big montage of us cutting through.
That'd be wild.
The strip.
I would love it. That'd be so cool,
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Fucking killer. Now, so one of my things I read about, so this thing was obviously shot in Thornhill, shot in a mall that was going to be torn down. Thornhill, Ontario, Canada, which is like an hour and a half from where we are right now, that there was actually a zombie scare on the set.
What?
While they were filming, there was real zombies. Did you hear about that?
No.
No, that wasn't true. But how cool would that have been?
Holy shit, bro.
Okay, so they're filming a zombie movie, and then real zombies show up, and you're just a guy who's trying to survive. Wow. You don't know who to kill. There's fake zombies. There's real zombies. What do you do?
Oh, man, especially in those big crowds.
Do you just gung-ho and kill everybody? You're like, fuck, it's not my problem. Real zombies. Bah, 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 bah.
But I guess you could just go cut everybody. We're cutting. And then you just see who's still ripping people apart. And I'm like, all right, you just need to get away from that. He's, sir, cut? Did you cut? No, he's fucking a real zombie.
He's a real zombie.
He's a real zombie. All right.
Somebody got him.
Do we have any
extras?
Security? No? Where are you guys going? What the fuck is this? My powers of director is gone because there's real zombies? Okay. All right. Well, this movie is fucking done. The world's going to end as we know it. See you later. See you later, Universal. There goes your 20 million or whatever.
So the zombies do come, okay?
Oh, shit.
The zombies come. Real zombies.
Yeah.
What do you do? What is Ian's first plan of attack? Like your step one in your plan, okay? Because if you don't have a plan, you're fucked. So what is your step one of your plan?
Well, for me, depending on where I am, my first step...
You're in your ideal wherever you want to be.
My first step is getting the ideal things that I need and then getting in my car and driving to who I feel comfortable with. You guys, my family, things like that. Mm. That is my first line of defense. It's not to barricade myself in. It's not to do anything like that. It's to get in my fucking car as soon as shit starts to get crazy. And at least if I know I'm in a car that's full on gas, I would have at least, not a sanctuary, but somewhere that I could be at least safe. I mean, if there's a zombie in front of me, I mean, you can only hit so many, but at least I can gun that motherfucker down. And if this is the zombie apocalypse, then there goes my thought on trying to keep the car, mm-hmm. their old Corolla dent free. Fuck them. I'm gonna drive my ass from Toronto to Hamilton if I can. If I gotta go Lakeshore all past a bunch of fucking smashed cars, I'll do it to get to, I don't know. And that would be my plan.
Not bad.
Unless there's something already set up or everyone's like, come here, we're going in the
Fort Pasture.
Inside. Fucking Fort Pasture. Don't go to Fort Pasture.
A name like that, Fort Pasture. Fort, we're solid, we're secure. Pasture. It's beautiful. Man. It's gold.
We just came from Fort Pasture. It was a bloodbath.
Everyone's dead.
Yeah, in the sense that they fell down and then they got back up.
I love, though, how he keeps talking.
Yeah.
They're not even focused on him anymore, and they're doing another scene. He's still talking. I love that part. I'm actually...
fucking great in that movie.
He is. He's
a great
really
actor.
I have a full 12-step program that I have developed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to divulge all of it here because I'm
you got to buy his book.
I'm penning those 12 steps,
yeah.
Whether they ever become available or not, because really there are other things that are available, Zombie Survival Guide and all that stuff. But yeah. I have a 12-step program that I have developed that I think is one of the best.
He's got three kids he's got to worry about.
And step
and
one,
a wife.
Step one is shelter.
Yeah.
So you need to fortify shelter because without shelter, you have nothing. So that is your first line of defense is shelter. Whether it's at your house, whether it's somewhere else. No. Personally, I got to go somewhere where everything's concrete, where everything's big.
Yeah.
My personal pick is a hardware store, like a Home Depot or a Lowe's, because they have all kinds of stuff you can use to fortify.
Supplies.
They do not have food.
You're a pretty handy guy,
but
too,
they have stuff to fortify. And if you can't fortify, you got nothing.
Because
if you can't get a good night's sleep,
you
cannot find food.
That's a great way to look at it.
And, and everyone else is going to be scrambling and running around like a bunch of idiots.
Yep.
And you get fortified first within the first 12 hours.
At least you get time to think about what to do. A lot
because
of people,
it's not,
you're right.
It's not panic spread. It's taken over.
Yeah.
So you got to fortify. You got to fortify.
Feel that.
And usually your house is not the safest.
No.
Because there's a lot of hidden areas. You know, you live in a house, there's a neighbor. There's a neighbor beside that, neighbor beside that. Neighbor behind you, there's fences, there's backyards, there's corners. There's no open area. But with, a commercial plaza, all four sides are usually open with a parking lot.
That's true.
So you can see everything for all four sides.
You can get on the roof.
Yeah,
a lot of times.
Always.
Most houses you can't.
You have that access point.
Right.
step two? What is your step two?
Well, I guess step one is like survival and like assessing and shelter. I mean, I don't know. What is it? Is it?
So
for me personally, it'd probably be survival items, food, and but not weapons. Weapons would not for me. I would rather figure out. I would rather be with people who can fucking do that. I mean, yeah, I'll fight a kill zombie. Yeah, sure. Give me a fucking pickaxe. You know.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Pickaxe would be shit. It'd be great yeah, shit. Would be, for me, it'd be great shit.
Crowbar.
I'd take one hit and swing and miss, and I'd fucking grab from the back, and I'm like, you know what? I deserve that. See you, buddy.
My bad.
Because why would I get a pickaxe?
Yeah.
Crowbar would be all right.
Crowbar would be real good, man. Anything metal. Not too heavy.
A little sharp and pointy. Medium sized axe.
Yeah. Even just a hatchet. Like a hatchet.
Hatchet. But I think I need some. A hatchet would be all right. But I need something I can hold with two hands and give a fucking swing to.
You know,
chainsaw would be awesome.
There's hot dog skewers you can buy.
Yep.
And the hot dogs, but there's like they're double turned. And
then
that would be really
good. That would be really cool. Jabber too,
right
yeah.
in the face. They're pretty strong. I mean, there's lots of stuff out there. My step two is food and water.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
because if you don't have food and water, you can't. I guess
that's simply that's what I should have said.
But, and it's, I mean, you know, you fill every bucket and container you have with clean water.
Right.
That is your biggest thing because there's going to be food out there. You just got to find it because, I mean, every house has food in it. Every store has food in it.
Right.
Food will be there. Water is going to be the thing. So, I mean, if you can steal a Culligan water truck.
Yeah, that'd be
awesome.
With
those big fucking jugs
and
park it inside. Yeah, take that. But
how long does that last?
Yeah, that's the thing. Water is going to be the biggest thing. Because without you go 30 days without food. You go 3 days without water. So you got to have some water.
But how long do you think... legit it would take before the water to stop working
and we actually were yakking about that social services, how long would it take for basic social
Internet
services
to
break
down, you know?
I think it would be a while.
And what would it take? Because I don't think it would take zombies clogging up the fucking pipes and the tunnels or them knocking down radio towers and shit. I think it would be the people that work there all either evacuated or got turned into zombies.
But even if they do evacuate,
how long?
Doesn't that shit just run?
Yeah, I think
like why would it shut down? Like
exactly.
I think
satellite dishes just wouldn't stop orbiting.
The thing would be is
the people
I guess
monitoring them.
The power.
Maybe.
Because, like, electricity is stored, electricity is generated.
Yeah.
Because then, like, the water and the wind
well,
and
I
the
guess if,
turbines, and then like, you have so much electricity
power plants,
stored.
If people stopped working there.
That's what I mean, right? Because
eventually, I guess.
There'd be, you know, I think it would take a long time.
But I think it would take, at least it would take a little bit.
It wouldn't be day one. It would be, I would say, day 20 to 50, somewhere in there that I think that. Social services might break down. Internet might be
time.
The first thing to go.
Yep, sure.
That probably would be. I think
phones too. Maybe.
Yeah, I think well, water. Not. I think water and hydro are so close that water could be shut off quickly.
Right.
But
yeah, and I feel like
you just might not have a flow. You might your tap might open,
but then I don't know because
and your
I feel
shit
like
just might dribble out
with water.
Know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But with the way people are today, I feel like they would, as John Hammond said in Jurassic Park, like they would life would find a way. They would find a way. People would find a way to broadcast on TV. People would find a way to broadcast on the internet to just get stuff out there. Unless things just totally stopped. There would be like crazy reporters that are like, no, we need to broadcast still. I want to be the one that's the only one on TV right now talking about this and shit. So they would have that drive, as what you talked about, to push them to I mean, you look at natural disasters and things, and there's fucking people. These people are in wars documenting and reporting, and they're in disasters and
because
they want to be that person, you know? So I feel like in our society today, there would be people that are doing that. So there's still – you could still turn on a TV and you might see something.
Tim and Bob and Susie would still be back at Channel 4.
Sure. They'd
pumping
be fortified,
the gears
pumping
and fucking,
out if it had to be
– plugging
the,
in the wires and whatever else they need to do.
If that's what it needed to be, you know?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you'd have to be right there, I think, because there are the nuts out there. I mean, there's storm chasers. There's fucking wackos
like,
all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's their time to shine.
And there's just so many people in the world.
Do you dream about zombies? Like, not
happens?
Dream, but daydream, like do you hope for them?
No, I don't hope for them. And I don't – I'll be honest. I haven't really thought about if it happened, what my steps would be. But usually when I'm certain places, sometimes with certain people, like even as we were talking about 10 minutes ago, I had like a very visual daydream, if you will, to the point where it affected me emotionally. I was like, oh, took my breath away because I thought, what would that happen? When you were talking about fortifying shelter as your first step, and I was thinking, I thought, oh, would this house be it? And then I just saw a ton of zombies after doing what they did upstairs to the people there, just pouring down your stairs. Or if everyone was stuck down here, how long you could stay until eventually they just smashed through the windows, broke the door down, and you took as many as you can down, but their hundreds kept coming and just filling the basement and taking all of us. And I had that feeling. So I do daydream sometimes. Like if I'm in my apartment, what would I do if they came in, and what weapons would I grab, and what I, you know. But I don't know. I would never hope that that actually
happened. I worked at a job that I didn't really like for a while, and I had a lot of free time to daydream. And so I would just daydream. And I was
– That was a regular daydream.
For a year, I wrote my 12-step over and over again. Not in great detail, but just, you know, what my 12 steps are. So I know my 12 steps. So, you know, if it happened tonight, right now – I would know my 12 steps,
happy
and I know
here.
Exactly what to do. I mean, I might die still.
I know.
Because of zombies.
I would be. You know? I wouldn't curse Canada, but I'd be like, fuck, for making having guns very difficult. You know?
Yeah, and but I mean, there. You know, the one of the things that I
love Canada.
Thought of was, okay, so you know, you go to of course the places that you know, because you know there's a gun shop in downtown Hamilton.
That's true. Yeah,
pawn
on
shop
Street.
Yeah, yeah. And then you hit the gun range.
Yep.
There's one in Hamilton. There's one
right
in Burlington.
CarStar?
Yeah.
CarStar might be all right.
There's one in Burlington that is, you know, 22 minutes away.
Okay.
So you could hit that, no problem. And then your next step is if you still need more stuff, is now you go down to the registry office and you find who registered guns, what their addresses are. And you start going to those houses. So you find who has, you know, this Jimmy Bob Stevens has 42 guns registered in his name. So we're going to go hit up Jimmy Bob Stevens.
Like Bert from Tremors.
And we're going to go, see if Bert is making his own bullets in the basement, attracting the Tremors. You know, that's your final step.
That's
to
who
find
you
weapons.
Want.
But again, there's anything's a weapon.
Anything's a weapon, but. You know,
but in a time when
zombie media has led us to believe that guns are the best defense.
They are the best. I mean, you know, headshots though. Headshots.
After shooting guns in Vegas,
yep.
I do feel like I would be more confident. Definitely with the shotgun, that pump action shotgun.
Shotgun
man,
was sweet.
Oh, I didn't feel shit. I loved it when the guy turned the safety off and was just like, put your shoulder here, look down there, and shoot. And you know, he wasn't like, you have to pump it after every time. Like he. It's common sense, but
yeah.
I like that he didn't even have to tell me, knowing that we were all Canadian tourists who have really never shot guns, just because I fucking knew, right?
Yeah.
And it was my best shot and the best one that I – Uzi was awesome. The AK was great. I would love to have an AK-47.
Yeah.
Fuck me,
I did worse with the AK. The handgun was actually –
You get great with it. I wasn't great with the
handgun.
The handgun
was like –
But that AK?
Out of 16 bullets, I had two off the head.
That's –
So I had 14 headshots.
I was
and
shooting
16 bullets.
Up, so none of them.
So you're
I just didn't know. I was just. I guess I was pointing the handgun up, but the AK and that pump shotty. Because I play Left 4 Dead 2, which is a video game. It's like a first-person shooter. It's too bad you don't like video games. I'd love to play it with you.
I love video games.
You do love video games,
but I don't have time for video games.
And so he doesn't play a lot of next gen.
List.
Doesn't play a lot of next gen games. And to play a first-person shooter as intense as that, if you never play them, is tough to jump into. But I loved these first-person shooter games, and the one that I played, this Left 4 Dead, as I was saying, it's very much like there's not a lot of weapons in the game. I mean, there is, I guess. There's a good variety, but it's a first-person shooter, and there are hundreds and thousands of zombies. Like, it's crazy the amount of zombies in the game. It is like, if it were real life in a video game, it's crazy.
Yeah?
So, and there's like machine guns or shotguns. And variations on that. And so I always go with the shotguns because I was like, I feel like I'd rather have something big that I can beat them back with and I know one shot will take them apart as something that I can further away. Like if the zombies do get close to me, I just want to when they're done. So that's why I think I would think shotgun. And like I said, shooting it in Vegas really affirmed
shooting
that.
Shooting in Vegas would be awesome.
I'm like, you know, I have shot one. It's not that bad.
No.
You know, if I just had to keep shooting a shotgun and I had enough ammo for it and the gun didn't jam or whatever, oh, yeah, yeah. I would choose a shotgun.
Yeah, I'd stay with the handgun. I got good aim with it.
It's mobile. You'd have multiple, though.
I already got to lug enough baggage around.
Right.
So,
how many handguns would you have on you?
Oh, I got to have two. You got to have two. But then you got to have 1,000 bullets.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be stocked with bullets.
Like the two silver snake ones that Nicolas Cage had in Face Off?
That was a good one.
That was a tight gun. One, yeah. I love those guns.
Yeah. The whole thing is, everything runs out, though.
And that's
it. In the apocalypse. Everything runs out. So you have to figure out a way to sustain certain things. And I mean, there's solar panels, so you can create your own electricity. You know, you can boil your water and get it from the lake and clean it that way. And so, I mean, that stuff, but you know, bullets, and you gotta start making your own bullets. Like, I don't know how to make bullets.
No.
You know, like cars will break down.
Like, you think there's enough lighters you could get from, like, say you did a day of looting and you successfully went to, like, variety stores not all over the city and you stole thousands of lighters. You think they would, like, if you rationed it well where you just needed one flick to light whatever and then you had a fire and say you had 8,000 lighters. Like, that'd last years.
I would think so. I mean, lighters, matches. I mean, you go
matches too. Yeah,
you go to Walmart. I mean, they
thousands.
They have just at one Walmart. Every aisle has lighters. Every aisle has matches, waterproof matches in the camping section. So I mean, I think that stuff
like
would
fire
last.
Would be fine. Yeah,
yeah,
for a long time.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then I mean, eventually you can make your own fire. I mean, you rub some sticks together, some kindling and shit like that.
Flint rocks.
Yeah, I mean, you can
magnifying glass
creative. But again, if you don't know about that, how are you going to learn about that? Because by this point, internet is
It's gone.
It's gone. So I mean, you got to go to the library, I guess, and
loot the library for a book
and steal some books.
You know, yeah.
You're studying and you're highlighting passages and this is the one. Put a fucking sticky note here. Oh, we don't have any sticky notes. We got to go rob the Walmart again. We got to get some sticky notes.
See, I'd be more. That's interesting. I'd be more open to robbing the Walmart or looting the Walmart. I guess robbing is not an issue now because there's
nobody
there.
Yeah, there's no, no one cares.
Then going, but like, would you ever go to a library? If you knew you could get in and out, like if you were like Glenn on The Walking Dead and you just looted around places, you know, like.
I mean, if I had to know how to make fire, if I didn't know
something,
that.
And the internet didn't work.
And no one in my group knew
how
to make fire, then
might be a book on that.
The only place I gotta go look at the library because there's gonna be caveman shit, and you know we'll go check that out. And
it'd be overrun, I bet, because nobody wants to hold up in a library.
But again, well, would it be overrun though? Because
how many people would have been in?
There'd
it?
Be no real people there
that's
anymore.
True. That's good. True.
So the zombies, you know, from what movies have taught us, zombies go to where the people are.
Right.
So wherever there's lots of people, that's where lots of zombies are.
That's true. And if there was like the librarian zombie that just went back to the library and nobody showed up ever,
remembered, and
it would just degrade. I guess it would just stay as a zombie, but deteriorate until it couldn't walk anymore. I guess eventually they'll just deteriorate to nothing.
She just comes in. Yeah. She clocks in every day. She puts her glasses on and she sits at
takes books from one place.
She sits at the cart and she's just pushing books back and forth, stamping them, putting the little sleeves back in. That'd be funny.
I would smile and comment how cute that was before I blew her fucking head off with a shotgun. Yeah.
Now, like, because I've read a book by Steve Wellington called Monster Island.
Never heard of this.
So basically, it's a book that is set in all different perspectives of people who are under a zombie apocalypse. So they don't fully know that it's a zombie apocalypse, but we know as a reader that it's a zombie apocalypse. And one of the people that it's set, it's told through the eyes of, is a zombie.
That's sick. Yeah.
And so this zombie is walking, and he's been a zombie for a while, and you know he has an inner monologue that he's talking, and he's talking. Oh, my knees hurt. They feel like they're gonna explode. I can't walk. I can't go on. But I can't stop. My body is dying. My body is just it's falling apart. But I can't stop. I have to keep walking. And when they see people, they see them as like a glowing sun.
It's wild.
Because it's power, it's energy. So they have to eat that in order to rejuvenate themselves. And it's kind of like the longer
really
they go,
perspective.
The longer they go without food,
yeah.
the older they get.
Okay.
But once they have food, they go backwards and they get younger. So they feel vibrant and they're ready
right.
to take on the world.
Or they're not really.
They're not really, but they're just, they feel that they feel way. That,
uh-huh.
Their body is fueled.
Right.
You know, it's like pumping them full.
But then it's like a drug, so they need more.
They got, well, they have to because they're consumed with it.
Wow.
That is all that goes through their head is walk, 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 find more, eat. Okay,
more,
feel
more,
better.
More.
Okay, we're done that. Okay, we got to walk, 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 find more,
wow.
eat. And they can't stop. And so, you know, that opened my eyes a lot on zombie perspective.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a great way to put it.
Do they really want to do that? Probably not, but they have to.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing that I always noticed in zombie movies is good guys take a long time to turn.
Yeah.
Bad guys turn instantly.
Instantly.
And so I've your personality and who you are as a human, as a being, transcends into who you are as a zombie.
Wow.
So if you're a bad dude, break a lot of rules, kill people, you turn instantly. You get bit, bam, you're a zombie
right
away, and you're ferocious, and you know. When you're a nice guy and the pastor at the church gets bit by an altar boy, he slowly, it takes a day for him to turn. He deteriorates, his skin gets bad.
His mental tries to fight it more.
Yeah,
because
he's a good person and it's
the
slowly,
such a bad thing.
It slowly consumes him. And I've seen that a lot in
zombie
movies. And it's always interesting if zombies do become real, that will any of this be true?
Well,
or
that's
is any
thing,
of this
right?
made up? Like, it just, I want to know. Like, I want someone to create zombies.
It's interesting, right?
Just so I know.
Because because if there's no blood, if you get your neck's bit and you bleed out, so your heart's not beating, so there's no energy moving to power your brain, I mean, just on the simplest level, but they still can get up and walk and function, so that if it actually happened and you blew their heads off, their bodies didn't just keep moving and crawling towards you. Like, their brain is not working,
and
what is controlling
back
them?
To that Monster Island book.
Right.
Steve Wellington. Basically, so when your brain has the something stem that goes up the back, and then it fires into the middle of the brain, and it lights up everything on your brain.
Right.
So basically what he says is there's the stem that goes into your brain,
okay.
whatever that is, I don't know the technical term, but there's the stem that goes into your brain that would fire everything. It only fires the stem. So everything else in your brain that you remember it's just gone. And the only thing that remains is your mobility.
And motor functions and stuff.
That one, you know, you got to walk and you got to move.
Like basic instincts.
Yeah. And then you got to eat.
Primary.
It's just you're turned. I think I said it when we were watching the movie that they're like sharks.
You very much like
that. They're
yeah.
you know, they just
constant
they gotta
to
eat. They
and
move
dominate,
and they eat.
Yeah.
They move. They eat. It's not their fault.
Wow. Yeah, it's not their fault. That's
but
just
if they get in my way, I'm gonna kill them.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, I want to kill them.
That's a really interesting way to put it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if we talk about the movies as if they're a reality, then we start talking about if in our reality what happens.
Yeah.
But in reality, if it actually happens, of course. If vampires actually existed, people would throw garlic on them, get crosses, and try to stake their hearts. But who knew if that actually would work?
Yeah.
And if they're like, what the fuck are you doing?
They're just laughing
Sunlight
at them.
Sunlight doesn't do shit to me,
like,
but
ah.
I do drink human blood, so I'm classified as what you think is a vampire, but you cross me all the fuck
everything
you
want. That Twilight taught you was wrong.
Exactly.
Ah,
yeah,
ah, ah.
You know, but we are super strong, and we are fucking terrifying,
yeah.
So yeah, we're going to kill you and not feel bad about it, but nothing that you think works is going to work on us. I don't know. That's it. I like I said, I would hate if a legitimate zombie apocalypse actually happens.
I'd love it.
I would hate it.
I'd love it. It'd be fortifying. Oh, it'd be so good.
I mean, if zombie apocalypse happened and then they contained it and then they had like exhibitions you could pay to go and just kill zombies,
that'd be wicked cool.
Or if you could shoot them at a range and just pay extra a couple $100 to shoot some zombies.
Somebody's got to make a zombie restaurant.
I don't know, man.
Zombie restaurant.
Stinking the food, like zombie. I don't know.
No, but like not like you just, you know, there's zombies that greet you and they don't try to eat you, but they, you know.
How do they train them? And they're deteriorating.
They just,
what if they reek
Why would they reek, though? They're people.
They're people that are...
They just have to act like zombies with a little bit of gray skin color.
I don't know.
For two order, please.
No, that would be awful.
It'd be fun. They got zombie movies playing in the background, and then...
That's cool.
It'd be like... spaghetti and meatballs would be like hair and brains. Can I get a plate of hair and brains with extra blood, please?
I don't know. You think
that
would
be extra marinara sauce? I mean, it's niche. It's niche.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking cool, man.
I think if they made a zombie amusement park, they should have the zombie
survival game
or something like that.
Yeah.
And they had a zombie themed restaurant. Yeah. That would be cool. But just like a chain of zombie restaurants. No.
That'd be cool.
I go one time and be like, what the fuck is this?
Zombies, guy.
I'm going to all my keg steak. This fucking spaghetti meatballs
zombies,
bullshit.
Man. I go to zombies. Well, there's more than just spaghetti meatballs.
Well, you know, but that's their big thing.
Hot dogs would be not zombie fingers or.
Oh, yeah.
You know. It'd just be fun.
Oh,
it'd be,
what is this fucking place? So spaghetti, meatball, and hot dogs? What is this fucking place?
I know, eh?
What do they call their craft dinner that they serve, you know? Can I get a Lunchable to go, please? You know?
Can I get a Lunchable to go? I would go. I would definitely go.
Oh, I would go.
I would.
I'd never
for sure drop some cheddar
I'd
there.
Never
I would
sink
for
any
sure.
money into franchise it.
Oh, it'd be neat. And the one thing I've... Is there a movie restaurant besides Planet Hollywood? It's like I want a restaurant where I want to go, and I want there to be a kids section. I want there to be a zombie section. I want there to be
there to be
a section for each genre.
Right.
So whatever I want to tonight I'm taking my kids out to dinner. So we're gonna go to the kids section. We're gonna watch Ice Age,
and
you know it's gonna be great. We're gonna have a great time while we eat,
right.
And the food is all you know generated
the theme,
around
the
you know yeah whatever
serve you or
and it changes like weekly you know like so you know then there's the horror
That's
section
interesting. Yeah.
And it, you know, you come in on the hour and a half or 2 hour intervals.
Right, that they do that.
So, like, you know, you buy your package or whatever, and then, you know, you get your appetizers, your drinks, and then you get your meal and your dessert. And then by the time you pay your bill, you know, the movie's over.
It's like the Rainforest Cafe.
Well, I've never been. What is...
Oh, so it's very much themed restaurant. It's animatronic animals, and it's big... rainforesty all around you and they have trees and stuff and then every 20 minutes or so there's a thunderstorm that happens so the animatronic animals act differently. There's sound effects, the lighting changes, there's steam and smoke that goes all throughout it.
See, but that never changes though.
No, it's the same. Like it's on clock.
You go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday,
but there's a thing, a little interview stuff happens, so you go couple
but I'm
hours
thinking
of
like
horror
they,
night
they
or...
change it like every week, like you know then the servers can dress up in you know there's
a lot of extra cheddar for different costumes. You got to get different uniforms.
Yeah, but they're charging a premium though. I would pay extra to go and watch Batman, you know, Dark Knight. Serve me some chicken fingers. I would definitely pay extra.
He's in costume and comes over and just gives you the food.
Does
he do a bit when he comes over with the food?
But you could get greeted by.
I get the greeting.
Commissioner Gordon.
That's awesome.
You know, he could seat you, and then you could sit down, and then your waiter, you know, could be Two-Face.
Okay.
And
is he in character or just dressed up as something like, hey, welcome to the movie
He's
restaurant.
In character. I mean, it's a simple latex kind of mask.
Right.
He's not, it's not crazy huge.
What if it fell off a little?
I mean, why would it fall off a little?
I saw it in the restaurant.
Yeah, it's not going to fall into your soup.
Well,
you're not going to eat a latex mask. It's a one-piece little fitted thingy that's going to go on.
He's got
it's a little gimmick that's glued on. So
well, you don't want to look like shit.
Well, again, this is not a $40 million flick here. This is a $40 meal. So there's, you know, you have to suspend some belief to sit back and enjoy it.
Okay.
And then Two-Face could bring your food out and then he changes and he's all like, no, you're not getting your food. And then he's like, this one you get your food, this one you don't.
Okay.
And then he fucking flips the coin, eh?
Batman catches it.
And then Batman just catches the coin.
They get their food. They're getting their food and they're getting it now.
Oh, shit.
And then bam. They're in it, and then Two-Face runs away, Batman chases him, and you got your food.
Joy.
And so that 2 minute, not even, little bit right there in the middle.
So it's just like really
it was just fun as fuck.
Really specific movie-themed dinner theater. I would fucking pay to go to that.
Yeah, see,
in a second.
And the thing is, though, it would like once a week, it changes. So like Monday to Sunday is like a movie.
Right.
And they pick a movie and they do it. And maybe like because
you can pick anything.
Because I mean to have a full section for horror, full section for like there's just too many sections.
That's a big
so if like the first week of every month is kids week.
Right.
And they play a kids movie and it's all generated kids. And then the second week is like a comedy flick.
Right.
And the third week is an action and the fourth week's a horror.
Sure.
And so you know, different genre people want to come and you will get those people rather than trying to get them every week, you get them once a month.
Once a month, right.
You get that audience once
theme
a month.
For the holidays and then,
of course, I mean, Home Alone.
Halloween and then Christmas.
Home Alone for Christmas.
Home Alone,
you kidding me? How awesome would that be? Cheese pizza?
The classic cheese pizza.
Diet Pepsi. I mean, yeah. I guess you could have some other stuff on your pizza because not everyone. I want meat. I want meat
but
on
then
my
you,
pizza.
You have like you have Home Alone themed things on the menu that represent different stuff on the pizza, right? So Uncle Frank something, and
yeah, and then you could have the Fuller.
The Fuller
is like a 48 ounce Pepsi, 48 ounce Diet Pepsi. Hey, that's the Fuller. You just got. I need the Fuller, please. I want one Fuller. And then Uncle Frank could just come in dancing in his bathrobe, singing. He's got a shower cap on.
Yeah, comes through.
Like, it would just be so cool.
Get choir of kids coming through.
We know a guy who could really do the cougar. Well, it would just be wild. You're eating chow. You're eating pizza. And Uncle Frank just comes rolling through. And then Uncle Frank's just got to be a bald guy. Normal, tall, white, bald
guy. Chef. He just comes out and does that.
Yeah.
And then gets back in there making hot dogs, craft dinner.
And so that's the thing. It
mashed
could be,
taties.
You could have actors
fingers.
Play those parts.
Right.
Because it's only a week, right?
Right, yeah.
And they're only doing like five shows
right.
five times a day,
and
right?
It's open for, oh, they're doing it five times a day?
Maybe five. Because if a movie's an hour and a half, so maybe 2 hours
right.
interval on average, you have a 2 hour interval. So
you only have, you have dinner seatings
hours.
Then? Or is it just open all the time?
No, no,
like
there's,
people can't
there's times.
Come in midway
yeah,
through a
no,
performance.
No, there's times.
Or
I mean, if
right?
you want, you, I guess you could come in midway through.
No.
And
you should have seatings.
So, but I think it should be timed. So, like at 8 o'clock, it starts.
Right.
So you're there at, you know, 7:55 and you get seated and then, you know, the screen.
Right.
But there's just a little TV at every table. Plus, there's like a big TV in the middle of the room
playing,
kind of
right,
thing, right?
Yeah.
And
so the
everything's
bad boy
hooked
night,
up.
And when they do Bad Boys night, it's just.
Oh, yeah. That'd be wild. And I'm just here for a cup of brown sugar. That'd be wicked.
What's up, Sean?
And like they could do double feature, though.
Yeah.
You have Bad Boys 1 and Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys
They're
2.
Long as fuck.
They are long.
It'd be four and a half hours. But, I mean, that you could have a nice double feature.
And you just show the full movies? It's not like clips from the movies?
No, you got to show
the whole
movie,
flick,
man.
Right?
I'm there to see a movie, too. Because when you go out with your girlfriend, what do?
Well, you go to dinner and the movie.
Exactly.
Right.
How much does that cheddar set you back? Depends
where
you
on
go.
Where you're going
I mean,
dinner.
If you're having a hot dog at the cart outside, out front of the movie hall, yeah, $6.
Yeah, if that.
You know, $7, $8, $9 with two sodas.
Yeah.
And okay, so then you go in the theater, and that's $40 just for the theater.
Yeah.
Like, so you could sit down, watch a flick, have a full meal. So
you bang them both.
Appetizer.
Out. Yeah.
Dinner.
Right.
Dessert.
Right.
Maybe a drink or two tossed in there.
Okay.
And it'll cost the same as dinner in a movie.
And you have more time.
And you have more time
go
to
home,
sit down,
knock the boots,
at home.
Get Nikki going.
Exactly.
Whatever you want to do.
You want to get wild.
If
wanna,
it
you
didn't work
frisky.
Out and you just got to, you know, self-love, like whatever you got to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's lots of time.
There's
I mean, there's so many possibilities that you could do with so many movies.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Like Die Hard.
Die Hard classic.
Die Hard. Yeah. So you could have the...
Any of the Die Hards.
You could have the... The Broken Glass.
The Chester A. Arthur.
The Chester A. Arthur. But so the bomb could come into play.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In the movie,
yeah,
right?
That's
like,
so sick.
They could come by and they could handcuff you.
What the fuck?
Like they could just toss some handcuffs on and then your missus has got to like hit the thing and break the handcuffs like on the boat. Like when he breaks Samuel's handcuffs, right?
Oh,
lean forward, lean forward. It's going to go fast. It's going to go fast. Oh, my God.
The gold brick.
Is that gold? Yeah.
You get the gold brick.
See, exactly. Everything
night.
Could
yeah.
just play around a
it
movie.
It does play really well. That's just a lot of, like, you have different menus for every fucking movie and shit. But you get somebody like Jesse who knows how to print stuff.
It's easy, though, because you don't need a menu.
Right.
Because
maybe paper menus for each place.
The meal is the meal.
Oh, it's set meal.
Right? You could do it as meals the meal. Here's the meal geared towards the movie.
The veggie version.
You might have two different, maybe three different versions based on, I guess, dietary needs. So you got the veggie version. You got the meat eater.
You got the Argyle, the Ellis.
Yeah. So and that's it right there. So you could have like the, the mild character. Who's nice and mild mannered and you know very friendly is the vegetarian meal,
oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Then there's the the healthy, not a vegetarian but still healthy,
right?
You know, healthy choice is like the medium mid star, yeah. The co-star character, and then the leading role is like the full on.
Steak,
you know,
and potatoes,
yeah, maybe. Whatever, you know, like whatever the juice and the meat of that is that. See, this is huge, man. We are breaking ground
Carl
right
Winslow's
here.
What was Carl Winslow's name in Die Hard? What was fucking
Alan.
Yeah.
A little bit of help from Alan, but only in part two.
Oh, shit, from the song.
Yeah, the guy's nice.
They play that too?
It's a good song. Yeah, they could. Why not?
That's
the recap at the end, man.
That's true. They show like a montage. They should just play that. You would just play that after.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe a music video after.
This is bam. Here you go. Here's another little Die Hard taste.
It's a pretty classic song.
I think
yeah,
we're onto
so many
times.
I mean, every movie you literally think of. You could toss a movie at me right now, and I could pick three things. I could be, oh, that'd be funny to call this on the menu and that on the menu. And
Jurassic Park.
Oh, the Jurassic Park would be crazy, bro.
What do you get?
You get the Barbasol shaving cream can could be something.
Yeah. That's your whipped cream. That's your dessert.
That's exactly.
So they bring out the Barbasol and
different flavors you can pick.
Yeah.
You get Clever Girl is something. It's like that's the girly drink.
Clever Girl.
Yeah. Robert Muldoon. That's something. What the fuck is, what's her name? You just use character names. You get the Ellie Sattlers. You get the, how many lines of code are there? About 2 million.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like that's part of the little players coming out.
That's your spaghetti pasta.
That's your spaghetti pasta, yeah.
How many lines are about 2 million? That's what it's called. How many lines are there? About 2 million. And that's your pasta. And then, that's your kind of veggie meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then your full-on...
Life finds a way.
Your full-on lead actor, lead role meal is like the giant steak. Like the T-Rex steak.
Right, yeah.
You know, the big cut of meat with the bone
the
left
Grant,
in.
You know?
Yeah. Big old hunking slab of mashed potatoes just swimming in gravy. So, like, you can't go wrong with that. It'd just be golden.
Yeah, everything.
You always switch it up. Different genre.
Well, I thought it. You're not getting licensed for any of this, though.
But who's going to stop me? Who's going to stop? Weinstein going to come to my house and bang on my door?
What
come to my
does?
Restaurant?
What's the first thing you say to him if he comes to you and he says, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
I tell him to prove it.
You say, you know, why don't we talk about this over a meal?
I say, prove it. You sit down, you have a meal. You tell me you don't like it.
He's eating hot
I'll
dogs.
I'll shut it down.
Hot dogs and chicken fingers. He's like, you're
he
right.
He doesn't like it?
I love it.
I got to kill him. Weinstein goes down. He goes down hard. They won't find the body. We're not doing anything. That's the thing. We're not jeopardizing the movie.
That's
we're not
true.
Ruining opening weekend.
You are, but because
these are established flicks.
But you're bringing in attention.
But they're established. We're bringing in attention on flicks that don't really get attention anymore.
Right. DVDs, but you're getting money for it.
DVDs have been out. Okay, so the creators of the movie. So I guess the company that makes them.
Well, it depends
the production
on,
company.
On who? Yeah.
So we pick Dawn of the Dead.
Sure.
And we're doing that this week.
Okay.
Who gets paid there?
Is it just Dawn of the Dead in general? Well, George Romero gets a cut. He was a producer, executive producer, something. Just because it's characters based on him, they pay royalties to use. So he's getting some.
So who owns
Universal?
I want to pay one guy. I'll pay $2 a meal.
Then you're.
I'll give $2 a meal. If the meal's $40, I'll give $2 a meal. Generated towards licensing and using.
$40 a meal, you're going to be bringing in some clean cheddar in this
See,
place.
This is great. A great idea.
Sorry we got off topic a little from Dawn of the Dead.
Yes, we did. Our apologies. But yeah, let's recap Dawn.
Okay.
So,
Dawn of the Dead remake.
I'll go my thoughts first because I got it fresh in my head here. My thoughts, terrific flick.
Great.
Very fast-paced.
Yeah.
Very entertaining. Very mind-opening and questioning film. Questioning myself, as in, could I do this? Could I survive this? And questioning, as in, could this ever happen? Why would it happen? You know, do these people make the right choices in these situations?
Right, right.
Very... very unique to me in the sense that it was the first zombie film I had ever seen.
That's pretty
so,
cool.
So I always remember that. That right.
And you will always remember
yeah, and that. Yeah, and it'll hold a spot near and dear right. to my heart because it was the first that yeah. ignited this burning fuel.
Oh, you love
this,
it.
This gasoline, diesel-fueled engine that is always looking for new and different zombie stuff. So, I mean, on a scale of... zombie brains, yeah. one being the smallest, 10 being the greatest.
Okay.
I got to give it 9 dead zombie brains out of 10.
That's pretty good.
That's my cap. What about yourself there? What do you say?
I, right off the bat, I will give it 8 zombie brains out of 10. But that's no way am I downgrading it from yours for anything particularly. Terrific flick. I highly recommend it to people who... I mean, show it. If you're a zombie fan, it's a great movie. If you're a zombie fan and you have a new girlfriend or a new friend and they're up for watching a zombie movie with you, but they never have, it's a great introduction to it. You're not putting on like some weird, obscure Italian zombie film that is just full of nudity and extreme gore. And they're like, what the fuck is this? You're not putting on one of the Romero movies and God forbid they find it a little too slow or they don't get that. You know, it's a good surefire fit. It's fast-paced, like you said. There's so many kills. Zack Snyder is a huge Hollywood director. If they're like, I don't like zombie stuff, you'd be like, oh, it's the guy that directed Watchmen. It's the guy that directed 300, you know? Oh, really? Okay. And it's very Zack Snyder-y in it. So, I love the fact that it was filmed here. It's nice that big, really cool movies like this filmed around here. You know, when Scott Pilgrim was filmed here, it was so awesome to be a part of that, kind of, and see that. And the movie turned out amazing. I loved it. So I gave it 8 point somethings, but we don't point somethings in this. So 8 dead zombie brains out of 10. Highly recommended it.
So that's an average of 8.5.
It's great.
You got 2 recommends. If you haven't seen it, get off your ass.
Yeah.
Get out there. Go see it.
It's fun. I think it's on Canadian Netflix.
I mean, yeah, you could snag it probably for $5 somewhere.
Trying to think of easy ways if people are interested.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen it.
You could snag it. But, no problem. $5, $10 at most.
Yeah,
but, you cheap. Know, $5 easy. It's well worth the purchase
right.
if you're a collector like myself.
Yep.
You're gonna want this one in the collection.
You definitely want to have. Even if you're not really a collector, but you have zombie movies, get it.
Yeah,
have it in the collection. You know, don't listen to the diehard haters that you know. And I love all the genre, but don't listen to Die Hard. Oh fuck! It's Dawn of the Dead was the original. There's no, you know,
yeah.
whatever. It's a good. It's different enough
it's
from
a
the
standalone.
Original. It's a standalone.
It is a standalone.
Yeah, it is a classic staple.
There's only 2 things that are similar: the fact that it's zombies and the fact that it's in a mall.
Yeah, I mean so. They have little Easter eggs hidden throughout, but really, you're right. It's zombies
yeah.
in a mall. The storyline and the characters are totally different. And it's definite standalone. So, yeah, I really recommend it. And I think that if you haven't seen it, you should definitely see it.
Check
but
it
I
out.
Also hope that if you listen to this podcast all the way through, you have seen it. Because we talk about a lot of stuff that if you've never seen the movie and you're just listening to this,
yeah,
you got no fucking idea what we're
yeah,
talking
about. Yeah, you have
about.
No idea. You're totally lost. I'm Noah Villeneuve, and you can find me on Twitter at TTOFS. You can also find me on my website, TTOFS.com.
I'm Ian Rayburn, and you can find me at Ian Rayburn on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook with my name. And I also run a little podcast as well, the notalentpodcast.tumblr.com, that our good friend Noel at Try This On For Size is a lovely sponsor, has been for all of our episodes. Love him for that. Buy his shirts. And thank you so much for listening.
Cut!